Hi, my name's Kevin Hicks. Welcome to the History Squad. Now, today we're out on location so I can have a good old shoot. But while we're here, we thought we'd do a bit of myth busting. Now, I've been shooting my lifetime over 60 years, professionally over 30 years. Boy, have I shot some arrows. And I thought I'd answer some of the questions and statements that people have posed to me. One of them was, oh, of course, the English bowmen used to poison their arrowheads. Well, I can't find any evidence of English bowmen having a big pot of poison. They could be dirty. But can you imagine that? You're on the shooting line. So there's 5,000 bowmen at Agincourt. Were there people going amongst the bowmen with pots of poison? And what happens when you accidentally cut yourself? Oh, he's dead. So I don't think they actually used poison arrowheads during the medieval times. I think it's a bit of a myth. So when I was at Warwick Castle, I remember going into one show and I got my arrow bags all ready and I was confronted by an individual, a young man, and he said, well, of course, you wouldn't have had all your arrows on your back, you'd have put them all in the ground. Now, I think this is a little bit of a myth. Yeah, I've seen some pictures where it shows the bowmen have got arrows on the ground, for instance. Could they have been just dropped there by their resupply? But think about it, putting arrows in the ground. So here you go. That's not too bad at the moment. That's nice, sandy soil. What if it's hard clay? And as you pick your arrow out of the ground, it pulls the arrowhead off. Why did they have arrow bags then that you could sling over your shoulder? I think the best thing to do, put your arrows in your belt, keep them in your bag. Because there's another problem. If you've got all your arrows in the ground and you get the order to advance, like at Crecy and Poitiers, where bowmen actually moved out into the battlefield, or withdraw, then you're going to look a right nana, aren't you, with all your arrows stuck in the ground, while everybody else is busy moving forward or pulling back. You are retrieving your arrows, or if you leave them where they are, you've got nothing to shoot. As far as I'm concerned, arrows, might put one or two down. The rest of them are in your belt, or they're in your bags. So you can simply get a hold of them and shoot the beggar like you're supposed to. Another misconception, I suppose that's what you can call it, is did medieval bowmen spine their arrows? In other words, the stiffness. Now, I've never spined my arrows. I spend a long time selecting them. If you were with me down at Wales Archery Specialists near Chepstow, you'd find Kevin has got an entire countertop. He's been cleared for me, and one by one, I roll my arrows, and then I flex them. I feel them. So I'm doing it, I suppose, the medieval way, because spining, as you call it, is a modern thing. Victorian, I understand, it began, but it is definitely very much a modern thing. Your bowmen of old, their personal arrows, they would have selected them, I am sure. As for the people who made the arrows, they had to make them to a standard. So they can't be too stiff, they can't be too bendy, they have to be just right. But remember, it was what they did for a living. It was their craft, their skill. So these aren't idiots, they have years and years of experience. Just like me, rolling my arrows, bending my arrows, flexing them, and they feel just right. So when it comes to spining, it's a modern concept, the idea of what's the spining on your arrows. Me, they're just right, actually. And somebody says, oh, you don't spine your arrows. Well, you're not a bowman then. Oh, that's a shame, isn't it? Because that's just gone straight between his eyes. I was reading a modern post just last week, and it was all about how the longbow, the English bow, the Welsh bow, the U-bow, was nothing more than a long-range weapon that they did these great big draws and shot at great distances. So if that's the truth, then what happens when the enemy are getting closer and closer? Or why did why did Henry V advance his troops to within around 200 paces of the enemy, and then they shot to sting the enemy into action? But as the enemy rode down, especially on their horses, there were bowmen on each side, And they're not shooting long distance then. They're shooting straight into the cavalry. You take the Battle of Crecy. The enemy are getting closer and closer and closer. And some of them, you'll fetch them off their feet. This weapon is just like you would use a firearm in combat today. If the enemy are half a mile away, well, do your job. If they're 20 feet away, shoot the beggar. And then don't forget, the closer they are, the more penetrative power you've got with the longbow. And there's an interesting point. If you take the Battle of Poitiers, when Bowman actually left the English line and went around the outside. So they literally are outflanking the French army. So 1 minute, they're shooting straight. Perhaps they started high up, then they started to lower their aim. But then these guys are running, so they will have their arrows with them. And as they get into a flank position, they're shooting into the side of the French army. So the guys on the outside, they're going to be taking terrible hits. It's not long range, is it? It is simply using the weapon to kill the enemy. If it was just a long range weapon, what do you do with the bowmen at the end? Do they all just go home or something? No. It's a weapon, long range, short range, medium range. It's a bow and arrow, for goodness sake. And that leads me on to another pointer, a myth, if you like. Once again, a modern post that I was reading. Oh, yes, and of course, once the bowmen had shot their arrows, they were simply withdrawn. No. Once the bowmen had run out of arrows, they charged forward in their companies, in their combat groups. Why do you think they carried all of these other weapons? So, you look, Agincourt, Crecy, Poitiers, Villeneuve, so many battles where the bowmen, once the arrows have done, or even halfway through the shoot, maybe they don't need to finish all their arrows. They will simply put their bows down and advance in their combat groups. These men, don't forget, yes, professional archers, but most importantly, these were professional killers. It's what they did for a living. Although these bows are powerful, they couldn't always penetrate armour. And don't forget, there's lots of different armour. There's your padded armour, your brigandine has got the little metal plates behind it. And of course, you have your plate armour. There are lots of films, lots of videos out there where they're doing experiments, they're trying to see if they can get through. Well, one of the things about the old armour is it wasn't rolled steel. It was hammered. So you might find a weak spot. But think about it. If you've got 5,000, 6,000, 7,000 Frenchmen coming towards you, it's only going to be the few hundred or maybe 1,000 men at the front who are armoured up. Armour, expensive game. You might be able to shoot it, buckle it. You might be lucky to get an arrow in there. But once they are actually coming down past the flanks of the bowmen, now that's a different target, isn't it? Because they might not have armour at the back. Or what about the 7,000 men who are behind them? These are your lower troops. They're not going to be fully armoured. They're still killers, so fetch them down. Let your nobleman deal with the enemy nobleman. If you see an open face, mind, put an arrow in it. If you see a good shot, armpit, groin, face, then shoot the beggar. But for the most part, don't waste your arrows on a fully armoured knight when you're aiming. Of course, at long distance, you don't know what your target is, but it's certainly going to keep their heads down. It's going to buckle the armour. It's going to make holes in it. It's going to get them to keep their heads down. But as a rule, arrows don't go through those incredible suits of armour. Got him in the throat. That's got to hurt, hasn't it? So another thing is the question of poundage. I'm often harangued. What's the poundage on your bows? Well, I've checked my bows. This one at 24 inches pulls close to 70 pounds. Which is, it's a bit heavy, I will be honest with you. I've got another bow, which is 50, and it's delightful to shoot. And this is horses for courses. What are you shooting your bow for? Now, I've shot with people who shoot 120-pound draw weight bows. Mark Stretton, great chap, shoots those great big heavy bows. But put yourself on the shooting line. Every man isn't a blacksmith. Every man isn't really built strong to be able to shoot those massive bows. In fact, those bows they recovered from the Mary Rose. Lots of different sizes. And you go back to Roger Ascham, and he talks about, don't shoot the big heavy bows because you've got to be able to shoot and shoot and shoot. And then Bishop Hugh Latimer, he talks about how he was brought on with a bow from a lad to be able to shoot. I've also read from history how they viewed often people with the big heavy bows were a danger on the range, which I, on the mark, which I can understand. This to me is perfect. But of course, if you're shooting the bows all of the time, it is your profession, then you are going to shoot the heavyweight bows. But I was reading that they reckon £60 up to £120 is a nice, decent range to shoot from. And I used to have, in fact, it's in the in my rack over there, I had a £96 draw weight bow, and it just hurt to shoot. So I've shaved him down. He's down now to about £65 at 24 inches, which is great for me. If you want to really let him go, get that bow right the way back. But if you're just shooting and you're enjoying, feel it, aim, let that go. And you'll notice I'm shooting full-sized arrows and they're bodkins. And boy, do they go. To be able to keep shooting on the range or on the battlefield, if you're shooting a £160 draw weight bow, are you going to be able to loose an arrow every few seconds? Right, last arrow for now. Give him a haircut. And of course, a lot of the myths, they come through the television, through the film industry, don't they? Thank you, Hollywood. But hey, when I was a kid, it was Richard Green in Robin Hood. And what got me about that one was the great big arrowheads they had. And when the arrows went through the air, they went... So as a young archer, you know, 9, 10, 11 years of age, I was getting frustrated that my arrows didn't go... So, no, arrows, they will go whoosh, of course. But the most famous one is brilliant actor, favourite of mine, a lot of respect for him, Kevin Costner. Now, my friend Bill, God rest his soul, was actually the advisor on that film for archery. And he hangs his head in shame when we used to talk in the pub about the two-arrow thing. So think about it. You've got two Norman knights coming towards you on their horses and you want the arrows to go slightly different directions. So you bite the fletchings off. Have a look at those fletchings. They're not only glued on, they are actually bound as well. You'd be there for half an hour chewing that off. You can shoot two arrows together. I'll show you. You just match them, balance them, look at your target. So, yes, two arrows. It's doable. But if you've got two people coming towards you and you've got the distance, shoot one and make sure you're ready. Shoot the other one. And just in case, put another one down there. I had great hope in Russell Crowe's Robin Hood film. Yeah, it was good. I enjoyed it. But it was the last part. Not the landing craft on the beach. We won't even go there. But it was the way the nasty knight is running away. Well, he's not. He's charging away on his horse. And Robin sees him, draws his bow, holds it back in the aim. And... releases it, and the arrow travels quite a distance from what I can tell on the film and goes straight through the throat from the back of the neck of the bad guy, who then chuckles. You don't chuckle, you go, ow. Hey, Hollywood, keep it going though, because I must be honest with you, I do like some of those medieval films. Well, I hope you enjoyed that little video of ours. If you did, like, share and subscribe. And if you'd like to support the channel further, why not have a look at joining our Patreon community? We have some fun. But before I go, quick shout out to some of my Patreon members. The first one, PC Brummy. You're right. And we have Hayley L. Amrani, Maximilian Beer. Hey guys, thanks a million. Bye for now.